Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love. Have you ever considered what will happen when the language of cosmic love becomes common sense with a common language? Are you aware that this love language is, in fact, the learning process, the creative process, and the processes of consciousness at the quintessential foundation of self-governance? Think about that. Such a language of consciousness has the potential to involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. This is what cosmic love is all about, higher conscience. Give yourself a checkup from the neck up. What do you think will happen to your world and the world at large as we become more conscious of how we are conscious, both individually and collectively? I'll give you a big hint. Take a good look at the worldwide web of consciousness that the Internet has created. Consider this new net reality for what it truly is, a global revolution in higher consciousness. The instant, everywhere, interactive Internet has eliminated space and time. We're all connected in the global village now. All knowledge is at your fingertips. Knowledge power as never before known to humanity. But where's the cosmic love, you may ask? There's a new net reality shaping the consciousness of humanity. Freedom to know better and the opportunity to do better has far outpaced the ability of our core institutions to keep up with the revolutionary capabilities for all humanity. That's what the Internet represents, the evolving consciousness of humanity, the collective consciousness of humanity, and the collective future of humanity. That's where cosmic love comes in. Any good metaphysician with his finger on the pulse of humanity could tell you that. If you step out of the box of contemporary groupthink and if you become an objective observer of the evolutionary ascent of net reality caused by the Internet, you will not only see a huge wave of change coming, but also the nature of that change and the role that cosmic love will play in change events. There is a natural evolutionary path to these changes. Cosmic love is a blueprint for that change. It always has been. But humanity is just beginning to grasp the multidimensional consciousness required to navigate the vast, uncharted realm of inner space, the Internet, at the heart of the Internet. This is the new global village consciousness that is defining the collective conscience of humanity. Let's get real. Net reality is what we make it. Where do you think it's going? How do you think we'll get through the birth pangs of a new world being born? Are you ready for the next big thing in the computer Internet revolution? Would you agree that the best way to predict the future is to create it? Cosmic love is the answer to these questions. All I ask is that you listen and learn. See how you can catch the biggest wave of opportunity in history. I'll explain how you can ride that wave for phenomenal win-win benefits for yourself and all humanity. Those hearing this are obviously computer literate, so connect the dots. Get a grip on the net reality of global connection with the benefits of cosmic love. Someone has to do it. May it begin with us, united sovereigns in a united state of cosmic love. Always victory when we love enough, keep the faith, get the vision, embrace the virtue, make the vow, and claim the victory of cosmic love in your world and the world at large.
Greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love. This show is December the 5th, and I am privileged to have on the show today one of the originals on the subject of ET disclosure and with the book called ET 101. I've got information on the website. It's Diana Loopy will be on the show today, and she has some really interesting information. We'll be referencing a material from her book and her website. And Diana, are you there?
Yeah, Christopher, I'm here.
Hi, Diana.
Hi.
Been looking forward to this. I really enjoyed reading your book, and I haven't read all of it yet, but I've read enough to know that this is really good information. I think if people are interested in the subject of crop circles, they'll love the information in your book.
Really? Is that? Well, you're making a connection there. Why?
Well, about all we get on the on the subject of there is someone else, some other intelligence here, is crop circles. And we get these amazing crop circles, and some of them are just giant and with very sophisticated.
I know. I follow them. I'm amazed by them. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are, and they know there's something more, and a lot of people would like more information on the subject, and specifically at this time, there's a lot of information coming out. There's massive appearances of UFOs all over the planet. That's not in the mainstream news, but all over the internet. And officially, they don't exist, but unofficially, we know there's crop circles, and we know there is a lot of appearances, and of the crafts. And I've been really looking closely at this subject, and I see a flurry of information coming out about official disclosure before long.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you've had your finger on the pulse in more ways than one over the years, and have really been on the cutting edge, you might say. That's my opinion, having talked with you previously and read the material in your book, which is really extraordinary. And for those listeners of the show now, you can go to the Cosmic Love webpage, and there's some links with information from her book, some excerpts from her book, the first chapter. And did you have a chance to look at that, by the way, Diana? Those links?
I actually didn't. That's why I left the.
Okay.
I didn't take a look at it.
Well, I was careful.
I can get there pretty quick.
I was careful to format it correctly, and some good information there, and gives everyone a taste of what's going on with your work. And your website's really interesting. It's really exquisite. It's really attractive the way you framed it, and short and sweet, and with really interesting links. And you've got information, recent information, news information that you have archived that people can click on and read, and there's also some links on the Cosmic Love website to your recent releases on your website.
Well, thanks, Christopher.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. It's an interesting subject. And it's getting a lot of attention now. Gene Hudon's news group, Earth Rainbow Network, had quite a lot of information this last week, or I think within a week or two, on the disclosure issue, which is gaining traction on the internet media, and occasionally it gets mentioned, the subject, usually disparagingly in the mainstream media. But anyway, I wanted to go into this a little bit. There's some interesting takeoffs on the 2012 subject and what's going on with the shift of energies, the shift in not just as a planet but in consciousness. And we discussed earlier how the Matrix is rebooting because the software is dysfunctional.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it, and that's the way I've looked at it. I've been watching. Well, there's a lot of things about the way this entire system keeps repeating itself.
Yeah.
We go through historic events over and over again. They change uniform and they change main characters, but the program's the same.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's kind of a giveaway right there. There's a glitch going on.
The fix is in.
Yeah, it does. It absolutely does. And, you know, otherwise, you know, if we were really here, everyone said, oh, we're here learning.
Yeah.
Well, I look at historic data, and I think there's really not a whole lot of evidence on that one.
That we're not learning from history.
No, we're not learning at least from what we're going through because we repeat it.
Yeah, we're
and
condemned
if we
to repeat
had,
it.
We wouldn't have to repeat it, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's where I keep seeing it. Is software a software problem? You know?
Yeah. Well, and I like to think of everyone's software is unique, mm-hmm. but it's all connected. And
yes, it is connected because our software is also glitchy.
Yeah.
And that's
well,
part of the problem.
We get into the subject of the DNA, and to me, it's really fascinating how. The energetics are changing the DNA, and it seems that the powers that be are doing everything possible they can to corrupt the DNA with toxic genetic poisons,
oh,
like food chain, chemtrails, radiation.
The entire thing is that what's governing this planet is entirely parasitic.
Yeah.
So they have an investment in keeping us where we are, because they can feed off us in that state.
Yeah.
But in consciousness, they absolutely lose all capacity and power to do such a thing.
Yeah. In other words, when you say parasitic, you're referring to, I call it milking the light of the masses, whether the light is in terms of their supply, you know, how they're stripping the equity out of the economy, or whether it's milking the light of our conscience with... the mainstream media has used the technique for years of using shock and awe, you might say, with emotionally, where they have increased the thresholds of shock value with whether it's some kind of accident or pyrotechnics or sexually explicit, you know, whatever, and it's the thresholds, they've pushed it further and further and further. And of course, we see shock and awe, to manipulate us with terror events also.
Yeah, exactly the point in that one is that what they are doing, you know, is keeping us in our lower chakras.
Right.
Which are about survival. I mean, they're absolutely necessary, and then certainly not putting them down. But, you know, it's that if we stay there, the gateway is at the heart.
Right.
Meanwhile, the lower three chakras govern our capacity to survive here.
Right? And our upper three chakras
represent
our full
access to who we are. And I think more than anything, what they're parasitizing is who we are.
Yeah.
As long as they can keep us thinking that we are powerless, we are in danger, we are huddled, scared human beings that need to depend on their resources and their, you know, their directives to get us out of the mess we're in. And basically they put us in the mess.
Yeah.
So that's very self-serving. They get to keep everyone fighting in the lower chakras about their very survival.
And then there's the owners.
You know, this planet is so abundant. The fact that there's any deprivation going on this planet at all is already a travesty.
Yeah, and of course the abundance is suppressed. I mean, the breakthrough energy technologies for free energy, the healing. You know, I have a website that goes into the concept of how the internet could provide free online. Universal self-care with information that you could go into, and based on your current symptom profiles and your metabolic type, which corresponds to your blood type, the foods that are ideal for your body type, and then for for your current symptom profiles, what's indicated that's working best from a self-perfecting database? In other words, is that if people use the service, their only obligation is to share what's working best, or whatever they did, you know, from the database that was indicated that would help, you know, whether it be homeopathic, naturopathic, chiropractic, allopathic, or whatever, you know, whatever combination, that they could report the results back to the database, so it becomes a self-perfecting database. And, of course, the model of that is really a model of healing of the healthcare system, which is 97.5% self-care, but it's been co-opted for disease care because it's profitable.
Well, disease care is an industry.
Yeah.
Prevention is not.
Right. There's no money in prevention.
There's no money in prevention. Yeah,
yeah,
so you know that you've got to look at the way they've got this place structured, and to understand why that's not being done, and actually getting to, you know, we talked about this briefly this afternoon, yes,
the what?
Or this morning when we talked about this earlier about, you know, energetic medicine, and,
right?
You know, and, it really dawned on me after we talked. I was thinking, you know, what they're not saying is all medicine is energetic medicine.
That's correct.
All pharmaceuticals are energetic in their nature. The energetics are what you need to look at. What are those doing? In most cases, they're short-circuiting our immune system. They're sabotaging mind, you know.
Neural integrity.
EEG is what I, you know, it's like they're sabotaging brain patterns.
Yeah.
They're giving us fluoride in water, which calcifies the pineal gland. The pineal gland is our way out, you know, in terms of consciousness. All right, so everything is energetic medicine. The AMA would like to say that they're not doing energetic medicine, but frankly, even surgery is energetic medicine because they've intruded at the most gross energetic level into a body.
Yeah,
into a body.
And quantum reality, of course, we live in a ocean of vibrational actuality. It's all energy.
Correct. And so all medicine by its nature is energetic medicine. It's just that people are right now seeing that there's a kinder, less intrusive, and more effective way to perhaps treat these things, you know. I mean,
that's why they're
in energetic patterns all the time, you know. There is a kind way to do that, and a very gentle way to do that.
A gentle way. Well, that's been my experience. I've had three holistic health centers, and I was working with electrodiagnostics and mostly for analysis of the energy field patterns and the meridian energies within the organ systems of the body. And I trained with a guy who was really brilliant in the field of quantum energy medicine, and actually pioneered this new technology was a way to use biofeedback in the energy circuits of the body and basically challenge the energy fields of the body with thousands of different homeopathics, nutritionals, and, you know, the full range of natural and other less natural remedies. And his experience with that, my experience with that, was really just amazing. The guy also pioneered, this is Dr. William Nelson, who had to leave the country, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I worked with that. On my website where I'm talking about divine destiny alignment, I'm working with that technology.
It's amazing technology. This individual also pioneered a way of using Kirlian photography to photograph and, you know, substances, formulations, homeopathics, and he actually developed a way of engineering homeopathics with Kirlian photography, the energy fields. And he went around the world teaching other doctors how to create homeopathics and balance them through using Kirlian photography as a benchmark in the process. And, for example, when he would do a Kirlian photograph of a natural vitamin C, it would have this beautiful auric effect, but he'd use a synthetic coal tar vitamin C, and it would have this black sheen to it.
Yeah.
To give you an example. And, of course, it's the same thing. All drugs in the body block you know, with electrodiagnostics, you can see that they block natural, chemical, synthetic, petrochemical drugs.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what I'm saying. It's all energetic, and it's a matter of which energetic you want to introduce into your body. Are you interested in symptom reduction, or are you interested in healing?
Yeah, holistic healing. Well, you know, when you were talking about, you know, the energy of the heart is really the center of the three chakras. I think there's a corollary in the brain with the pituitary gland, as you mentioned. And there's the pineal gland. Yeah. No, that's the crown chakra. Well, the pituitary gland, the master gland, is kind of more in the middle, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And
the one that is the gateway in consciousness
is
the pineal. And when
pineal
that finally goes off, when that finally gets activated, we enter into consciousness. Consciousness is the natural state. We're in an unnatural state right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a suppressed state, and in a state that's anti-evolutionary. That's what I was talking about, before, about the efforts of whoever or whatever is controlling this place, in terms of the sabotaging of software, is to stop that process from happening, because they do know. They do know.
And I think that process within each individual, in between their ears, that there's a field there. It's a holographic field that between the upper brain, the lower brain, the left brain, the right brain, the forebrain, and the rear brain. And of course, being centered and connected, if you're in your upper brain, so to speak, it's like the upper chakras, and the lower brain is like the reptilian brain. You know, the R complex. And that's what the reptilians really like to work off of, you know, the fight or flight syndrome with the
deer because matrix. You know what? That rules biological, sexual, territorial imperatives. That's the domain of the reptilian brain. We actually can't exist without it, but to stay down there, and again, getting back to what was said previously, if we stay in the lower chakras, if we're being frightened at every given point, if there's another crisis every time we turn around, then we are forced down to lower chakras. The pineal gland is short-circuited because we can't rise up into the fourth chakra, the heart chakra. The entire cascade of what would bring us to consciousness has been short-circuited, and they can continue to parasitize us.
Yeah,
it's a very sophisticated but simple game.
So the software on the larger scale you refer to, I sometimes refer to it as the control matrix for ownership and control of the physical and human resources of the planet.
and that's exactly when I say they, I want to be clear about what I'm talking about, but I consider this matrix to be a suppressed matrix.
Yeah.
One that is, as I said, dysfunctional in the sense that it isn't producing consciousness easily.
Yeah.
Certainly there are people who have become conscious, but it's with great effort here.
Yeah.
This should
yeah.
be the natural heritage, and is the natural heritage.
Yep.
But because of the tactics that are being used against humanity is in a diverted system of evolution. Evolution is not something you could
in
the end.
It's more like devolution.
Yeah,
I call it
with emphasis on devil. But yeah, it is devolution.
I think of it as inversion, subversion, and perversion of the upward mobile spiral.
Yeah, of our natural tendency to become conscious.
Yeah. Yep, to evolve.
That's right. That is the entire point of being incarnated, and I don't care if it's on this planet or any other, in any place you are. That is the point.
Yeah.
The progression is always towards consciousness. It's to nothing else.
Yep.
That's the divine matrix.
Yep. That is the true learning field.
This is not a true learning field, or else surely we would have figured this one out by now.
Well, and the context, there's context whereby, you know, and it's like in the Montessori method, there's learning windows that children have at a very early age where they can absorb, you know, the absorbent mind can absorb a massive amount of information and learn an extraordinary amount very quickly. And there are windows, you know, with, you know, adults where they can hear more. And there is a point where most of us can only hear what we already know at some level. And we were talking about that earlier about triggering our memory of this process of the evolutionary ascent process and becoming conscious of how we are conscious and the dynamics involved with the upper lower brain, the upper and lower chakras, and becoming, it's like biofeedback. Once you become conscious of that which is unconscious, you not only will to control, but you can't resist self-control. There's the same principle in psyche feedback, you might say. Like biofeedback, mm-hmm. Once you become conscious of how you're conscious, the processes of consciousness, the learning process, the creative process, and it helps. It's like the pure intention in that process focuses attention for evolutionary ascension. You know, there's a mm-hmm. there's some core dynamics, and I think a lot of it is the terms and understanding software. For me, it's easier to, you know, on the larger scale of the matrix, so to speak, you know, the software that's running the larger social, political, and economic milieu. I like to think of how the internet, the evolution of the computer internet revolution. If you think [S2] Yeah. [S1] Of the computer as the brain, and we went from IBM, you know, hardware, which is the dominant metaphor, back 35, 40 years ago, and then we went to the PC revolution where you have the equivalent of an IBM desktop computer, an IBM computer on your desktop. And then,
and those IBM computers used to take up an entire block.
An entire block. They're massive. And,
yeah, yeah.
And then the power of that on the desktop, and then with that, there was like a personal empowerment revolution. And I forget which president it was that took, I think it was Clinton, took credit for the economy, you know, being balanced, because there was a grassroots revolution all across the United States of small businesses and home businesses, because a lot of them came out of the corporate world, you know, with these personal computers. And then the next big thing was from software and the personal computer in Microsoft was Netscape, and the computer became the network of computers. And so all these computers started networking, and we started connecting, and all of a sudden this global
yeah.
village became a reality. There was no
yeah
time
you know why it's interesting. I actually listened to a professor once from Columbia University education,
uh-huh.
and he was the point that was being made, and this was a long time ago, and the revolution in computers was really, really at its inception,
uh-huh.
and frankly, nobody even had email at the time that I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
But he said that what was going on, so the only true revolutions that ever happen on this planet, or any, is in communication.
Right.
Political revolutions get co-opted, as we have watched our
yep.
very own get co-opted.
Yep.
Right. But the big change that they cannot ever change it back is in communications. Yes, and so what had happened, strangely enough, we went in the beginning, you know, until the evolution of the alphabet, and then actually with the Gutenberg printing press, where we started printing material, much of the way things were transmitted was through the oral tradition. When we went to the printed tradition, we changed, actually the big revolution is the alphabet itself. I'm
yeah.
talking about fundamental changes
yep.
in communication.
Symbol language,
then,
the left brain.
Yes, and then printing. And then, but what strangely enough has happened with the computer revolution is that we're in many ways returning to the oral tradition. The amount of communication that we generate in a day here at this point with the use of the internet has put everybody, it's like tom-toms, you know, on hyper, on steroids, as I say. You know, it's like the communication data exchange that's happening at every moment right now
yeah.
is so vast, and it is an oral tradition. In other words, it's a communicate. It's like exactly the way it used to be back in the old days. So we've come full circle, but more evolved in that
yep.
full circle. It's not without literacy. It's not without the alphabet, but it is so completely back to an oral tradition in many, many ways.
Which is right brain. Right brain is
that's
oral
right,
tradition.
Exactly. It's shifted the brain hemispheres,
and
which
so
is a big deal here.
This is you know? Huge. The like I say, there's the upper brain, the lower brain, but this left brain, right brain dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the evolution from the telephone to radio to television, and with these personal handhelds and people having it all, you know, in the palm of their hand,
mm-hmm.
it is massive. And my favorite guru on this subject was Marshall McLuhan, you know, years ago. That,
yeah.
The media is the message. The,
mm-hmm.
the media itself is and I've also got into this subject of all problems are communication problems. You know, the same concept of, and all solutions are communication solutions. How we come into unity, basically, is the theme here.
Mm-hmm.
And the dynamic of this computer internet revolution, you know, this evolution, hardware, software, netware, you know, to me, it's kind of self-evident, and I've got quite a few websites, and I've linked a few on the website, the Cosmic Love website, referencing this understanding of heartware. In other words,
mm-hmm.
this education of the heart that centers and connects the upper and lower left, right, and fore and rear brain with a frame of reference for interactive mass-to-mass communication. You know, you can't have a mass-to-mass communication with a standardized frame of reference whereby 100 or 1,000 or a million people can talk at the same time without creating noise.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality of how that can work now with the technology that exists. Now, the vision of that, how that works, or the vision alone of the self-elevation, the self-correction, the self-elevation, the learning that can result when we can process information along more enlightened lines on a real-time basis, and how that would work with, for example, there's the evolution of that will be like the evolution of the internet. But the vision of how that can work with, for example, using your alphanumeric keyboard on your computer and while you're watching a Google video, you can hit three numbers in sequence, which corresponds to three dimensions of like your holographic field within your brain. And it's like the language of light, the upper brain, the lower brain, the first dimension, the second dimension, left to right brain, and then the forebrain to the rear brain, the third dimension. The way that would work with this really brightness scale, color spectrum, and pattern recognition, and I explain this with one of them, you know, several different websites I have. But the concept of that, and how that can evolve, where you have a little window in the lower right hand of your computer screen. So while you're watching a YouTube video, and you can, if you're just monitoring it, you can actually see where people are responding, and.
Mm-hmm.
The idea, the response then, after the video is done, you could go back and create a whole new YouTube video showing where the response is during the program and take that context with the meaning of the collective consciousness that read out at that point and where it's centering, balancing, or unbalancing now the collective consciousness in these dimensions of the holographic field between each person's ears. Not that you would see each person or, you know, identify them individually, but you would see like a red dot in a 3D cube in this 3D axis, a red dot where a response would be, and a whole field of these red dots in this little cube. Well, that
mm-hmm.
would be a field in the right part of your screen. The left part of your screen, you would actually, the technology is now evolved where, HeartMath Institute's developed this, whereby they can put a little clip over your heart. And while you're, you know, watching this program or interacting with this program, you know, a program that could be someone giving a lecture, live, or it could be someone that has given a lecture and everyone's responding to it. And the clip over the heart is actually a golden ratio algorithm of your heart rhythm will show when you're in the frequency of holy compassion or not. And the idea is, if you're responding and you're not in the frequency of holy compassion, it might be a different colored dot than, you know, it might be the red dot instead of like a yellow dot. You know what I mean? So that you would.
Yeah, no, well, I think what I feel when you're saying this is, you're talking about, in a strange way, you're talking about the Mandelbrot sequence, about in a larger field, if you're to step back.
That's exactly right. And how the individual field, holographic field, relates to the morphogenic grid, you know, the holographic field.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
That's absolutely correct.
And the vision of how that could happen, the vision of how that could work, of how we could involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness as a function of mass-to-mass interaction. The vision alone could be the catalyst for a self-fulfilling prophecy as far as the second coming of consciousness, you know, a cosmic consciousness and the collective consciousness. And I get excited about this. It's one of the reasons I do Cosmic Love. I've had a lot of authors who have different takes on this same understanding of the morphic fields of the Earth, you know, the morphogenic field of the Earth, and how we're all connected.
And in a way, you know, what we're looking at right now is that everything is coalescing into a certain, you know, focused, even though it may seem extremely random and hyperventilated in terms of communication, we are coming to oneness in the most extraordinary manner.
Yep.
And that's what's taking place, and that is exactly the reason to not be afraid at this moment.
Right. It's
because
a really exciting time.
This is a time where we get to graduate, where we actually get to be birthed.
Yep.
And all of humanity, everyone that can handle it or take it, will be able to go. And
this understanding of the thinning of the veil through 2012, what Great Britain refers to zero point, and there's a lot of different really good information about this from different perspectives. It's like a holograph. There's, you know, you can take all these different angles of the holograph and see a part of the whole that represents the whole, just like every part of the body has a DNA code that is the blueprint for the whole body.
That's correct.
That's correct.
And once it's tapped into, I swear there probably, and I know actually there was legislation introduced by Jay Rockefeller, it's like to stop the internet.
To stop the internet.
Now, why do you think? Oh,
I know.
The worst thing that ever happened, you know. Well, of course it's the worst thing that ever happened. For control.
For control.
It's the worst thing that ever happened.
There's a really interesting book on that called The Starfish and the Spider that gets into the more highly centralized, top-down, command and control organizations try to control, the more the decentralized, the bottom-up, net roots, grassroots organizations, compensate for decentralized control. And this phenomena is happening right now. It's like checks and balances in the grid, or, you know, checks and balances in the program, or checks and balances in the matrix. And through 2012, I think that's accelerating.
I read this very interesting perspective on this guy who, his professor who was studying revolutions or things that have happened that have really changed things, and the way we're going right now, this is the Navajo way. Strangely enough, it's Indian. Because they never had the reason why they were so difficult to defeat by the left brain assault that was coming at them is that they always had a leader, but the leader wasn't anybody that they chose. Uh-huh. It came up out of the tribe, and then they could decide whether they would follow this person or not. And Geronimo was such a leader. But what it was decentralized.
It
was a decentralized assault on the early U.S. government, which is probably not a whole lot different than the current one in terms of the way it was organized, you know.
I think that's one of the examples in the book, Starfish and the Spider, is the story.
Oh, did they talk about the Navajo thing?
Yeah,
that was fascinating. I thought it was fascinating to look at how that had befuddled them.
Well, nonlinear or native cultures are nonlinear. They have a spherical consciousness that's truly spiritual. that's exactly right.
Well, that was the way they did it. They didn't have a centralized leader.
Yeah.
Like we have a centralized leader. We vest so much in our presidency.
Uh-huh.
But we're investing it outside of ourselves. They never did.
Yeah. Well,
They never did. You know, they might have a leader, but the leader came from internally. It did not come from externally.
Right.
And they were not obligated to follow that leader in any way.
Yeah, one of my favorite gurus was in organizational development. The guy, it's quite a story. I worked with this guy for years. And he explains that in the corporate world and in any organization that, and this is the whole, there's a video on this called The Business of Paradigms by Joel Barker. It's brilliant. And he explains mm-hmm. that in any organization, real change, innovative change will come from the outer circle, you know, the outer community. It doesn't come from the entrenched, hold that line, linear consciousness of the insiders. But real innovative change will come from, the outside. And it's like Mark Andreessen, who developed the internet, Netscape. He said, if you really want to change things, you don't want to reboot the old system, or you want to create something wholly new.
This is something someone told me that I tried because he was an accountant for the state of Oregon for IRS. Whatever that was, and. He said, you know, corporations cannot deal with exceptions.
Yeah.
Well, the reason they can't is because they're doing a left brain thing.
That's right. That's right.
And the reason, by the way, that we are so bad at guerrilla warfare is because we're running a left brain war. But if you understand that the exception is where the blind spot is, if you were really trying to take this one down, you would stand in the exception and not in the, not even in opposition. Exception is
yep.
the point.
There are exceptions to the rule. You just don't want to make exceptions to the rule.
Well, there is no rule if there is an exception.
That's right.
See, that's the other way to say it.
Yeah.
That's the reason why they cannot.
There is no rule if there is an exception, yeah.
That's correct.
I think what we're looking at right now is that there's an exceptional dynamic involved with this this instant everywhere interactive internet. There's no time or space now. And it's getting into quantum reality
but
very quickly.
It never was time and space. That
it was never was.
And it never
right.
was. It's just that people are becoming aware in some strange, they're not completely there, but they're halfway there at this point at least, that it never was.
Yeah.
Everything that has ruled us never was.
I think one of the most inspiring ways I found getting out of the lockstep linear, letter of the law that killeth the spirit of the law, the right brain spirit of the law, and get more into that spherical consciousness is reading material like you've got in your book because the way you go through the terms, these different terms, the way you provide, an exquisite sense of humor to this whole understanding that is largely unknown, and it's kept unknown. It's like the concept of ETs and UFOs are like a symbol of the unconscious that Carl Jung, you know,
referred to.
And it's like the powers that be, so to speak, trying to keep it unconscious, because as soon as people become conscious of how they're unconscious and how they're manipulated, how they're controlled through fears rather than faith in this conscious evolution process.
Yeah, then
the game's up.
They cannot deal with an exception, and this is the greatest exception that has ever been introduced.
Yeah. Well, you know, my understanding is that after Roswell, a lot of that technology, like the transistor, was leaked out into the labs that became the transistor.
It wasn't leaked out. It was actually given to them. And
to the
person who did was Colonel Corso.
Colonel Corso?
Well, he was actually given that job.
Yeah.
After they had reverse engineered all of that technology.
Yeah.
And actually felt confident that they kind of knew what it was about.
Yeah.
They handed it on, and Corso, that was Corso's job, was to hand it on to industries that would be able to take it further.
Yeah.
Which is why we have a laptop computer that rivals the earlier version of the IBM, you know, the one block solid computer system.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why.
And there's so much more information along that line, along those lines in your book, and that I really appreciate. And to me, it's like remembering what's real. And we talked about this triggering everyone's memory, what they already know at some level. We're coming to a point where I'm going to have to do a wrap on the show here pretty soon, but I just wanted to finish on the note that there's a lot of triggers in your book that are really good, and there's a lot of unique ways you have with a really nice sense of humor of referencing this process of knowing or understanding or, you know, otherwise getting a grip on what has been couched in a lot of fear, and making light of that, of the big lie, you might say, or the big cover up, or the big willful ignorance that's been maintained in civilization with a grand awakening. It's really your book really is helpful in that regard. So I wanted to thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome. And to wrap on my side, I'd like to say that I did know that even when in the process of writing this book, and always the premise has been everyone who's here right now, everyone is capable of this advancement in consciousness. Incarnation is never arbitrary. And we're here right at the end of the world. I mean, this is like a very privileged incarnation for everyone.
Yeah.
They still may choose whatever they do, you know, that is theirs to do. But the fact is, everyone's equipped, everyone's hardwired, everyone is able to do it.
Yep.
You know,
I believe that.
Yeah.
And we're all going to where we're coming from.
Yeah, there's a Celtic prayer that I always loved. It was like, blessed are those who are alive at the end of the world.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That covers it
because here we are.
Yep.
And we are very blessed to be here.
Well, here's the being alive at the end of the world and dying with a
Yeah, here it is. You know, here it is. And if you make it through it, you're alive forever.
But there you go. Well, thank you, Diana. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll do it again here in a couple of weeks. Diana, I look forward to doing this again before too long.
All right. Thanks, Christopher.
You're welcome.
All right. Bless you. All right.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the Internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense. And it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule law language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the Internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the Internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the Love Model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The Internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where light workers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.